Welcome to Upstream, a source of ideas and encouragement for courageous bishops, pastors, priests, seminarians, and the people who support them, all of whom are swimming against the currents of an increasingly hostile world to bring Jesus to that world. My name is Pat Lincioni. I'm your host. I have a special guest here and a close friend, Chris Stefanik. And we are going to talk about what today, Chris?
We're going to talk about how when you're hungry, that doesn't mean you're needy. There's certain things that you could be hungry for, and it's a valid hunger. It's not an unholy hunger. You don't have to squash the hunger out. And specifically, I want to land on the hunger for, I don't know how else to put it, but the hunger for an attaboy.
Right.
Ministry can be so exhausting. And there's priests that come out of, you know, out of the Easter season, and man, they're spent. And right after that is the season where they're going to be doing first communions and confirmations. And does anybody pick up the phone and say, hey, I see how hard you've been working, and I'm so grateful?
And let's back up, Chris, a little bit and say there's so many pastors and priests and bishops and others out, and seminaries are going to get ready for this, who feel like it's needy of them to want this. They say, oh, I probably shouldn't need an attaboy from anybody. And I actually think, I always say to CEOs that I work with that's the loneliest job in the world. I think being a pastor and a bishop is probably the most lonely job. Because the question is, who is it? And I know it's God the Father, and it's Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit. It's we work for Him, for God. But it all human beings have a fundamental hunger for being affirmed and thanked and for gratitude. And very few pastors and bishops get what they need in that regard. And many of them think, well, I'm not supposed to want this, but that you're not needy for wanting that. You are just hungry. And it's a very reasonable hunger, I think.
And maybe just a little encouragement too, right? And then when people try to stuff that desire, it doesn't work, right? You end up hitting the bourbon a little too hard. Right. Or you look for it on, this might sound pathetic, but it's true. No one's beyond this. Doesn't matter how old you get, you're going on social media and posting things, and that's totally fine. But you're gauging your worth on how many people interact with or like the homily that you posted, because that's one tangible way to get an attaboy. I mean, that's why social media has exploded in all age groups, because it gives you some immediate affirmation if someone likes something you posted. Or they look to maybe their diocese, right, for some praise or for affirmation or for some encouragement. So they either stuff it or they look to a place that maybe won't give it to them.
Right. And what happens is when you're not getting that, you almost inevitably get resentful. Even if you're like trying your best to be holy and say, I don't need this, you can start to get resentful and bitter. And the hardest thing about this summary, or one of the things, is like, a diocese is really not structured to do this well. I mean, even a bishop that so many bishops have 80 priests reporting to them, 80 pastors. And it's like, they can't provide that fatherly and brotherly approval and affirmation and encouragement. And then when I think about pastors, it's like, you know, they need to be doing this for their priests, and they're not receiving it a lot. And a bishop, where's the bishop getting this from? When I talk to bishops, I realize there is nobody that is actually calling the bishop and saying, I just want you to know the way you're shepherding your people in your diocese, that's a really wonderful thing that you're doing. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. When there's a gap between what you want and what you're going to get, that's where resentment springs up. If you don't let go of what you want, right? And, you know, I've traveled and spoken at parishes all around the world. Like, I can honestly say this is sad. This is not in every case. But I think a majority of priests I've spoken to, if you bring up the diocese, there's a roll of the eye. There's a joke about how it's the Death Star. Almost never is it, that's where I go to get my encouragement. And obviously there's a gap between what they want and what they're getting, because, you know, what they experience is very corporate. It feels like a corporate thing that doesn't care about them. And they enter the priesthood obviously thinking, well, this is a family, and that's my spiritual father. And the reality is, and I don't want to excuse bishops who don't occasionally pick up the phone and say, hey, attaboy, right? It doesn't take much, guys. It really doesn't. But I don't want to excuse that, but I also want to say the reality is if there's 100 priests in a diocese, even if a bishop is great and does that, it's not going to happen often, just right. As a matter of practicality.
And this is not a podcast just for bishops, and we know many wonderful bishops, but it is not a bad thing to schedule, like, I'm going to call three pastors a day.
Oh, yeah.
And have a 10-minute call and just say, hey, I heard something going on there. I just wanted to check in with you. Because if you do three a day, or maybe it's three a week, you know, you're getting 150 pastor calls in your year. And let me tell you, those, I know the funny thing is, I've talked to many bishops and they're like, I don't think they really care. I don't think that there's like a humility problem. They're like, I don't think it matters that much. Heck, I used to be one of them. And now that I'm the bishop, why do they care what I think? And it's like, oh, the power of getting a call from your bishop to just say, I was thinking about you, praying for you, and I wanted you to know, I know what you're doing over there. And so it's almost like a false humility or a misplaced humility. They really underestimate the power, the fatherly power of a bishop calling a pastor. But this is not just for bishops. Yeah. What we really want to do is say, if you're a bishop, if you're a pastor, if you're a priest, and you're not getting those attaboys, the first thing is stop feeling guilty for wanting them, because that's a hunger, a desire that you have, a real one. You're not needy. You're not needy. But then, Chris, the question is, what should they do to avoid turning to things that are not healthy for the encouragement and affirmation they need?
Yeah, and I'd say, It's not an unholy desire. It's a good desire. I mean, the Lord planted the desire in our hearts. We're going to show up. The promise in the Bible is we'd show up in heaven, and if you know you're right with the Lord, well done, good and faithful servant. I mean, that appeals to the deepest desire in our souls to hear those words. But here and now, in the kingdom of God, we should be experiencing some of that and giving some of that Father's love to each other. So, yeah, what the heck do you do? And Pat, I'd say you got to call your brothers, your peers. Tell them what you're going through. Tell them how it's going. And frankly, if you need an attaboy, tell them that. I mean, say, hey, I'm calling for some encouragement right now. Just set the stage. This is what I need right now. I'm exhausted. Just give me a pat in the back, brother. Chances are you're going to get one. And it goes so far to hear that affirmation. Pat, I'll call you for this sometimes, man.
Yeah.
And it's not like the whole world can relate. I want to be that for my pastor too, but There's struggles a pastor has that only other pastors can relate with, that only other priests can relate with. Find those brothers and lean in. You need it. It's okay. It's an okay need.
Absolutely. I'm in a men's group of a Bible study now. Last night we did it, and it's five guys. We're all married, but there's certain things that we can't expect from even our wives or our own families. No. And to hear another dad, another husband, another guy go, oh no, I feel just like you do, son. There's nothing wrong with feeling that way. That's totally normal. Nobody else has ever told me that. And just hearing one of my peers, and I just started doing this year, and it's changed my life. And so if priests are, it's not just going on vacation with a brother priest, but it's like getting together on a regular basis and caring for each other and saying, how are you doing? And if a priest, a pastor, a bishop even hears from three other bishops going, dude, I felt the same way. Hang in there. You're doing a great job and we are proud of you. It's real. And it makes a huge, huge difference. So first, get it from your peers. Put yourself in a peer environment where you're not just doing things together, but you're actually loving on one another, encouraging one another. And so that's got to be the first one.
Yeah. And I lean into actually offering that to people. Make sure that you're the guy who's doing it. If you're in an environment where you're not getting that from people, instead of staying in that place of perpetual need, say, how can I fix this? Maybe I'll take the first step and I'll be that guy that does the affirming. There's 10 priests in my deanery. I'm going to call each one of them and say, look, I just want you to know I'm praying for you today. I'm exhausted after Easter. You must be exhausted too. I just want to encourage you. Thanks for being a good priest. Even if you ideologically disagree with the person on 15 things, be the guy that breaks the ice and does that. And know your power when you do that. Like Pat, if someone who's not living my life affirms me, it matters. It really does. But if a brother who's another dad knows my pain and affirms me, it's like, oh, it just suddenly validates everything within.
But I want to challenge you on something you just said.
Yeah.
I don't think you should do it if you don't believe it. I don't think if you're if you see somebody who's not being a good priest.
Yeah.
I don't think that you should do that, because I think that I think that violates truth.
Sure, sure.
And so I don't want people to get, hey, let's just affirm one another and everything. Because then what we do is we end up enabling somebody like, hey, I'm not really trying that hard. I don't believe the teachings of the church. And you're calling me to tell me I'm doing a great job? Because frankly, they might not be. But call the ones that are. Call the ones that aren't.
Just call them and say, I'd appreciate if you would retire. No, don't do that, obviously.
No. Yeah.
But there's a realm wherein disagreements can happen that are valid, right? Where there's stylistic differences, where there's ideological differences within the realm of fidelity.
Absolutely.
And we're too quick to write each other off within those bounds sometimes. You know, just call that guy who maybe you think doesn't even like you, you know, and say, I'm just praying for you. I just want to encourage you.
Yeah. Or, hey, I heard that you guys have a great program in this. Way to go for doing that. I heard that some of my parishioners go to your Bible study over there. That's so great that you're doing this. I just appreciate your vocation. Yeah, so reach out to them. But I want us to get out of this thing idea of affirming people when we don't believe it, because that's what the world has turned into. And then it becomes empty. And then we set a standard where we're supposed to affirm people in everything, and we know that that's not good for them. So I just wanted to be clear about that.
Hey, it's a good clarification.
Good. Here's the other thing, Chris. I think it'd be, if I'm a priest, I'm wondering, why don't my parishioners do this more? And certainly there's some priests out there listening, go, no, I get some from my parishioners. But most people that go to church think that it's enough to go, thank you, Father, after Mass. God bless you, Father. Great homily, Father. We really appreciate you. And it's very general. And what we're hungry for is not general, unspecific affirmation. We're often, we want somebody to recognize what we do uniquely or how we've suffered for something and say, I see that and I appreciate that, you know? And I went to my pastor, I think he's 34, 35. I asked him recently, I think he might be 35 now. And he looks 25, by the way. But I said to him one day, I took the time to talk to him about something that was going on. And I said, Father, you know that I value your approval and affirmation, and I admire you, and I want to be like you, and that when you give me feedback, that it changes my life. I said, is that weird for you? And he said, yeah, it's totally weird. Because I'm 58, he's 34. He thinks I'm an accomplished person, but he is my pastor. And so I try to take the time now to go to him and say, Father, the fact that you do this for us, that you have instituted confession before all the masses means I get to avail myself of that. And the way you hear my confession and absolve me of my sins, and I appreciate how hard you work for us. Every pastor is hungry for that specific affirmation. And if you're a staff member at a parish listening to this, it is a good thing to share that with your priests, or even to ask others to share that with them. And if you're a pastor, our priest, please know that you wanting this is a sign that you are a child of God, and you need your brothers and sisters to love you.
Yeah, I love what you said to your pastor. That's beautiful. I really think the main reason this doesn't happen on every level is that people don't realize their own importance and their own power.
Yes.
You know, and everybody presumes that everybody knows their power. We presume as lay people that our pastors know how influential they are and how powerful and weighty their words are in our lives. Pastors presume that their bishops know, gosh, it would mean the world to me if the guy would pick up the phone and give me a call and give me a quick word of encouragement. Guys, they don't know. They don't. Right. And usually if a decent person knew, they would do it. But they just forget, they get busy, and they don't know their own power. It doesn't take much. But like you said, Pat, I mean, you told your pastor this. Pastors, feel free to tell your bishop that. You know, bishops, tell your pastors that. We live in a world where everybody's in a standoff. Who's going to take the first step and be loving to the other person first? Just do it. Take the awkward first steps and break all this ice.
And this is why, and when it's genuine, that's why I went back to when it's genuine, it's powerful. When it's not, and it's empty, and it's unspecific, it can actually have the reverse effect. It's like, hey, buddy, you're doing a great job. And it's like, you don't know who I am. sometimes it's better to just call and say, hey, I don't know what you've been doing lately, but I care about you and I've missed you. Tell me some of the things you're working on and I'd like to know. So like, keep it real and specific and human. And it is so powerful. And you know, the thing is, as most parishioners don't know that their priest, that their pastor really cares what they think. Most people go, he goes to the hospital and hears people's, he does last rites and he listens to confession and he labors over this and counsels people because that's what he does. It's like kids and their parents. They're like, well, mom wakes up in the middle of the night to give me medicine because that's what a mom does. And it's like the power of saying, that must be so hard, Father. And that's why I love when priests say, hey, here's what's going on in the parish this week. So-and-so's funeral is happening. This funeral is happening. Then there's going to be this wedding. And it makes me just want to go up and hug them and go, you're going to be consoling three different families this week?
Yeah.
Holy Toledo. If I went to one funeral a month, it would exhaust me.
Right. Yeah.
And so I know we're not preaching to the choir now. It's like we got to be preaching to the people in the pews. But just know, fathers that are listening to this, your parishioners don't know that you want this and need this.
Mm.
And just know, pastors, bishops, that your priests want you to do this, but they're not going to ask you to.
Yeah. I'd add to that, not only is the load of the sacramental needs and the pastoral needs, there's also a growing number of regions in the world where priests will have all those needs to fill at three different parishes by themselves. I was in a rural area recently speaking, and the priest who I was with, he works for the diocese. He's a chaplain for the Catholic school, and he's got like two parishes, and he's driving and driving and driving. And I looked at him like, you got to be kidding me. Like, and he's only a couple years older than my oldest son, you know? Yeah, you just want to give the guy a hug. You hit a certain age, it's like there's got a move to compassion, thinking about how much they're pouring themselves out. And a lot of guys put on a tough exterior. It's kind of like it's kind of like the culture of being in the army. Yeah. You know, we're like, I'm not going to complain. I'm tough. I could do it. And gosh, if you're around ministry settings for long enough, you watch that happen where people stuff all their valid needs for too long. And, you know, to circle back to where we started, what happens then? You just crack, you know, people just crack. That's where so many of the horrible headlines, they start with someone stuffing all their valid human needs. But just to know that they're seen, I'll do whatever I can to look at that young priest and say, hey, buddy, what you're doing is heroic. Got to be exhausting. I just want to encourage you, man, and make sure you get that self-care in.
So here's another. So it's like, go to your peers. Know that your parishioners can do this for you. But here's the third thing is tell your people that you work with in your office. Now, parents are not supposed to go to their kids and ask them to meet their needs. And we've all done that before, and that's not a good thing for our kids. Our kids do not exist to please their parents.
Yep.
A lot of wounds are caused by parents who do that. But like, I consult to CEOs, and though the CEO is responsible for the people, for their direct reports and the people they lead, they are not meant to be superhuman, because they're not. Mm. And it's okay to say to a few of the people that work with you, listen, I'm feeling lonely right now. I'm feeling kind of unappreciated. And now imagine every priest listening to this is thinking, if say just go to one of the people that works for you and say, I feel unappreciated, they're all kind of grossed out by that. They're like, I'm never going to say that. But if you feel that way, it is a gift to say to somebody, I feel unappreciated. Because you know something? It hurts them to know that you feel that way and they don't know. It hurts them to know they feel that you feel that way and they don't know. And they will rally for you. And I don't mean this in a weird kind of way. Like, I need a party. Can people celebrate? But they're going to go, oh, Father, I didn't even know you needed me to tell you what I appreciate about you. This is a kind of vulnerability that it's not a violation of humility. It is humility. Humility is recognizing what's true and that you are human and that you can say, I need somebody to tell me that all this effort I'm putting in matters. Because right now, I'm not feeling it.
Yeah, and I think people fear that if they show that, quote, weakness, it'll turn people away from Jesus, that it's not effective ministry. And I got to tell you, man, Superman is out of style, right? the guy that has everything all together no longer inspires. We've poked holes in that. We've come to see and be attracted to real and authentic. And you see this in every level. I mean, even in the world of social media, if something's too overdone and overproduced, it's like, I don't feel like the person's talking to me anymore. It's seeing someone's humanity. John Paul II wrote about this in a document. I think this is on priestly formation. He said that the humanity of a priest is a bridge to Christ. Revealing your humanity is not antithetical to effective ministry. It's actually essential to effective ministry.
It's also not antithetical to effective manliness, because the priests are men. And oftentimes it's like, no, I'm not supposed to be. You're not being needy. You don't know. Don't be needy, but be hungry for that which you are meant to be hungry for. And saying to somebody, I would really like to know that what I'm doing matters, and I'm just not feeling it right now. There is nothing unmanly or soft about that. It is actually you being fully alive. And so, man, I just wish every priest I know, and I know a lot of priests, and dang it, you know what I'm going to do, Chris? I'm going to start calling one priest a week, and I know priests all over the country,
beautiful,
just to say to them. And Father Shane is a young guy in Texas. I'm going to call him on Monday to tell him that I'm praying for him, and I know what he's going through, and I know how hard he works, and that I appreciate his ministry. Every time I've ever done that to a priest, they're so grateful. So why don't I do it more?
Wow. I'm taking up that challenge. I'm going to do it, Pat.
Priest a week.
One priest a week. Give them a buzz. I appreciate what you're doing. Thank you. Thanks for pouring yourself out. And I want to affirm that it matters, that what you're doing really matters, even if you don't see it, even if you feel just taken for granted. It matters so much. You're not just replaceable. I had a friend who was dealing with a priest who made a transition his first time from one parish to another. And he was describing the experience to my friend. He's like, yeah, you know, but like I had a dog growing up and it died and we got a new dog. And my friend was like pulling his hair out. He's like, no, that's not how you got to see yourself, man. Like you matter. You particularly. You're not just a functionary. You matter. You know, and we long to matter in that way. And that's what this is about.
In the world where people go to church and they think their parish is like a filling station, it's like, well, you just happen to be the proprietor right now. Yeah. And when you leave, it's like, no. They are a human being that has, they're a father in a way that the next one won't be.
Right.
It's an amazing thing. You know, here's one other thing I'm going to ask people to do. Send them this podcast.
So the
upstream is for priests who are fighting in a world that is upside down and crazy. And man, I don't know how you do it, because it's hard enough for me as a parent to do it. And it to see what's going on in the world and to still be bringing people to Jesus against the current. Send them this podcast and the others that we've done, because we are trying to reach out to people and say, hey, there are solutions. There are ways to make this better. So if you enjoy this or you benefit from it, let your friends know.
Mm.
And in particular, this one, because they just might be at that place where they're like, does this matter? And I'm telling you right now, what you're doing matters. You're changing people's lives in ways that nobody else I know changes their lives. And you're getting probably less visibility into how you're doing that than any of those other people. So please share.
Yes, amen. And even if your bishop or your priest or your people are in fact taking you for granted and treating you like a filling station, you need to take it upon yourself. This is very serious. You got to take it upon yourself to find those wells of people of affirmation on a fundamental level, that people can see your exhaustion. You could share it with them and they can remind you that it's not just the things you're doing, but you as a human being matter a lot. Yeah. And thanks for being that for me, Pat.
Yeah. Thank you. Vice versa. Chris, let's end in prayer.
Yeah. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, thank you for those words that you promised to speak to us who serve you and are faithful to you until the end. Fill our hearts, Lord, with the knowledge of your great love for us, that we are your children, that we are your servants, and that you're pleased with us, Father. Thank you for that incredible love. Help us in the here and now to experience that love, to give it, to lift each other up with that little sign of your fatherly love. Give us that grace of encouragement. Fill your church, renew your church in that spirit of encouragement, Lord, and help that spirit to begin with us. In Jesus' holy name, amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you, guys.
God bless.